Good morning. Welcome. Annyeong Haseyo. I didn't hear that, sorry. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Tea and coffee will be served between our morning services and after our evening reflective service. Pastoral news. After a long wait, Takir has won another hurdle on his battle to be allowed to stay in this country. Well worth celebrating. Book Club will be meeting this Tuesday at Katie Frost's home at 7:30, and all are welcome. You're going to help me? You can help me. Maddie would be happy if you would like to celebrate her 70th birthday in the foyer from 11:30 to 2 this Saturday, the 23rd of June, for tea and cakes. Thank you, Maddie. The sign-up forms for the church weekend are available in the foyer and at the back of the church. Please don't forget to put your names down. The draw for the chocolate hamper, which was part of our gift week, has been taken and has been won by Sue Watts. And Jane would like to thank all of those who contributed by putting their pounds in. Thank you. And finally, Leslie would like to say something.
Two somethings, actually. Can't say the number, can say that it ends in a naught. And can say it's not one of them, but it's two. So happy birthday to both of you on your reaching your significant birthday. And this will be lovely and that will be lovely. So congratulations, Peter and Jean Ashdown. Hurrah! Let us join together to worship God. Come, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to God's name. We join to sing, "Praise my soul, the King of Heaven."
Thank you.
don't sit down, don't sit down, don't sit down. Psalm, please. If I'm odd, you're even. How good it is to give thanks to the Lord, to you, O Lord, to sing in your honour, O Most High God. With the music of stringed instruments and with melody of the harp. The righteous will flourish like palm trees. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. That still bear fruit in old age and are always green and strong. Please be seated. We join to pray. Let us pray. Praise to you, O God, known to us through the light of the risen Christ, who goes before us and with us, who lightens our way, who transforms our being, and who makes all things new. Praise to you, O God, we, your broken, frail, and foolish people, come to worship. For some of us, it is helpful to call you Father, because we are thankful for the people who have been our fathers on the earth. We thank you for them. And we thank you for those men who have mentored and encouraged and helped us. And for some, they have been their earthly father. And we thank you for them. Loving God, you are beyond known and you are unknown. You are imagined and you are unimaginable. We thank you for your transforming love for us. For your constancy. For your desire for growth and for the best for us. Forgive us the wrong that we have done. Forgive us for the good that we didn't do. And forgive us even for those things that one day we will look back on with horror. Forgive us. For we would be complete and whole and loving people, and we know we are not. And the Lord says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins from you. Thanks be to God that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right, come sit up here, gang. Go, 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 go. Hurry up. When Jesus was around, he used to tell stories from the things that were around him. So if Jesus was around today, he would say, the kingdom of heaven is like a mobile phone, or the kingdom of heaven is like a coffee cup, or the kingdom of heaven is like dyed ginger hair. Obviously. That he would look at the things that he sees, and he would use the stories. Okay. In the time of Jesus, it was a time when people grew their crops. And he looked around, and he saw all these little bushes that grew from mustard seeds. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a little tiny weeny mustard seed that grows into a plant that is big enough for birds to shelter in. And we would think it was just ordinary. We would think it was just rubbish. We would think it wasn't important. But Jesus said, it really matters. We would look at it and think it's just weeds. He would look at it and think, God's at work. Look at that. God's at work. See this glass? Is it half full? Is it half empty? Half empty hands up, please. I won't do any psycho babble on you. Okay. Half empties, gang. They've got a team. Half full. Beautiful. Okay. But the other question is this. What about? It's not just about seeing this. There's also this. Sometimes we need to change the way we see. Let's pray. Thank you that you are a God of abundance and generosity, and open our eyes and our hearts to see it. Lord, we pray. Amen. Right, we're going to sing some actions. I am a city on a hill. I am a light in the darkness. This is the sign for Jesus. Jesus, this is the sign for Jesus, not just the action. This is the sign for Jesus. See, Jesus living in me can change the world. Let your light shine, let your light shine, let your light shine. Let it shine. Okay, up again. you'd like to remain standing, that'd be great. Let's pray. Loving God, as we seek to learn more about you, bless us. Bless those that will teach and those that will listen, those that will read and those that will sing, that all that we do in this place, this day, would be to your glory. Amen. What a lovely... Have you got one as well? Have you got a costume? Have you got a traditional outfit? How come we've never seen it, Esther? From 2 Corinthians. Paul's apostolic authority has been challenged, and he comes in to defend himself. Speaking about himself, but also the significance of himself as only. So speaking to defend himself and his integrity and his value, but his value only comes as a slave of Jesus Christ. And that complicated balance is also ours. Sally Butler will read this passage to us.
The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's verses 6 to 10, and then 14 to 17. So we are always full of courage. We know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord's home. For our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. We are full of courage and would much prefer to leave our home in the body and be at home with the Lord. More than anything else, however, we want to please him, whether in our home here or there. For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. We will each receive what we deserve according to everything we have done, good or bad, in our bodily life. We are ruled by the love of Christ. Now that we recognize that one man died for everyone, which means that all share in his death, he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but only for him who died and was raised to life for their sake. No longer, then, do we judge anyone by human standards. Even if at one time we judged Christ according to human standards, we no longer do so. Anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone. The new has come. Amen.
Amen. So in Mark, we get the teaching of Jesus to a large crowd. It teaches them from a boat, which might, you know, remember all the time in the scriptures, there's wee hints and symbols, other stuff. So this might be a thing about Jesus having authority over the sea, which is one of the signs of the Messiah. And he tells these parables. Two parables suggest that the kingdom is now present. Kingdom is future, but the kingdom is also now. And the kingdom is barely noticed. And later it will be fully manifested, but at God's time and by God's grace. And Ray Erskine will read this passage to us.
Readings from Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 26. Jesus went on to say, "The kingdom of God is like this. A man scatters seed in his field. He sleeps at night, is up and about during the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing, yet he does not know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalk appears, then the ear, and finally the ear full of corn. When the corn is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because harvest time has come. What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Asked Jesus. What parable shall we use to explain it? It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade. Jesus preached his message to the people using many other parables like these. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them.
So let us pray. Fill my mouth and our hearts and minds with your Spirit, Lord Jesus. Amen. A seed is planted and it grows. And one scholar has said that the reason that this parable is only in Mark's gospel is because actually it's boring. It's just really boring. You know, seed is planted and it grows. No plot here, kids. Step away. It's just too dull. I'm not wasting 2 verses of my gospel on this nonsense. So nobody else uses it. No plot, no subplot. Seed is planted and it grows. Not having that anywhere else. But in Mark, we only get a few parables, and there we get a string of them. And Jesus doesn't say how we recognize the kingdom, but he does say that we need to have new ways of seeing. Are we training the way that we look at things and how we see them? Because unless we do it intentionally, we are being trained all the time in other ways. So the use of seeds, something that goes into the ground, it takes root and it grows. It grows whether you desire it or not. What are the seeds that we are planting in our lives? Where did your hardness of heart come from? Where did a cynical view of life, for example, come from? Where did your attitude to that particular group of people come from? Where did our attitude to money come from? Where did our attitude to aging come from? Where did our attitude to our time come from? What are the seeds that are growing in our lives? In the time of Jesus, the mustard seed grew into the mustard plant, which was scrub. Think heather, think gorse. And it was also a weed. We're not talking heather that you buy in the garden centre and you lug it home. We're not thinking that. We're thinking Highlands of Scotland, everywhere. How can we get rid of this damn rhododendron or whatever it is? You know, we're thinking scrub. We're thinking someone we want rid of. And it was everywhere and it grew. And Jesus says, The kingdom of God is like that. He uses this thing that they think of as wheat as this amazing thing, the kingdom of God. So it is not. The kingdom of God is like the cedars of Lebanon. Majestic, amazing, beautiful, removed. He says it is like this shabby bush that you've all got growing in your gardens, all got growing everywhere, and you are trying to get rid of it and you can't. The way of Jesus is not the way that we ordinarily see. For example, with him, it's not bigger is better. It's not extraordinary is better than ordinary and everyday. Jesus sees an ordinary everyday bush growing in its ordinary everyday place that is hard to destroy, and he says, there it is. This dull stuff, Jesus says, is a sign of God. Ordinary and dull, sometimes a bit spiky, like you are, and I am. Jesus affirms the weeds and the ugly, like you are, and I am. The small, the insignificant. For example, is it not interesting that research this week has said that the group in society in Britain today that are the most likely to be discriminated against are the elderly? And I wonder whether that is in the mix of people's thinking about church. Because people think church, they think old people, so the two things together must make the church rubbish. Depends how you look, says Jesus. You see scrub, I see beauty, he says. You see worthless, I see a sign of the kingdom. In the letter that we call 2 Corinthians, for our life to matter, for our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. For our life is a matter of faith, not of sight. What is going on may look to you like one thing, but what is actually going on may be something else. And before we all hold up our hands in horror and think, that's a million miles, so much of our lives is about faith. How do you know that those pills that you're taking are actually doing any good? How do you know that that water that you're drinking is actually clean? We live our lives by faith. How do you know when you flick on, you know, you just go to flick on the switch? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know that you're not going to get a whole load of volts through your arm? You just live by faith. Or Michelangelo. In every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison that lovely apparition to reveal it to other eyes as mine see it. You see scrub, I see beauty, says Jesus. The reign of God will happen secretly, but it will in time be able to be seen. Slowly, change will come. The reign of God doesn't carve out a separate sacred space. It doesn't say, this bit is the kingdom of God. And all of that rest, who knows? The kingdom of God says, the whole of it. God so loved the world, the whole of it. It's not that there's a sacred bit and then a secular bit where God doesn't matter. God is transforming the whole of it. So we gather together to be slowly changed, transformed in our growth into holiness. Our job is to worship together and then to go out from this place to be effective for God where God has called us to be. And that will be in nursing homes, it will be in schools, it will be in homes, it might even be in this building, it will be in our offices, it will be in coffee shops, it will be with our neighbours. And they may think of us as really rather dull scrub. But that is not how God views us. More than that, that's not how God views life. So in the 2 Corinthians passage, Paul is responding to attack. And he asserts his value. Right, good lad, show them what you're made of. And he says, my value comes from the one that I serve. How different is that message in a society that says, my value comes from me, it comes from the things that make me happy, it comes from the stuff that I own, that, no, says Paul, my value comes from the one that I serve. How could you possibly see that? For more than 2 decades behind bars, Willie Earl Green worked hard on his education. 2 decades behind bars, Willie Earl Green worked hard on his education, married his pen pal, and never stopped trying to prove he was innocent of the execution-style murder of a single woman. The sole prosecution witness came forward 4 years ago saying he wasn't sure that he'd identified the right man. And last week, the judge tossed out his conviction. Even though this 56-year-old man had spent nearly half of his life in prison, he spoke that he was at peace with himself. I was wrongly accused. I'm out now. I'm not bitter. I'm happy. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me right now, Green said as he left the courthouse. So far, so unsurprising. Green, a former chauffeur, said he was proud of his achievements in prison, including earning an associate's degree and teaching maths to fellow inmates in San Quentin. So far, so predictable. I'm a better man today, Green said. I graduated college. I'm proud of that accomplishment. I teach school. I teach men a whole lot of people gave up on. How do you see? He said he looked forward to spending time with his wife. They married in 91. Today the honeymoon begins, she declared. When asked whether the criminal justice system had failed him, he said, the same system that put me in jail is the same system that got me out. How do you see? He served, he was sentenced to 33 years in prison, and he served for 25. And he comes out saying, I'm a better man today. How do you see? How you view things depends on faith, not on sight. You see scrub, says Jesus, I see beauty. So the question for each of us, how are you looking at the events of your life? Is there a possibility that God is at work in unlikely things and in unlikely people? Which is true for each of us. It's not that God is at work in them and not in me. It's that God is at work at each one of us. How do you see your life? And it's not, brothers and sisters, that God was at work then and God is not at work now in your life. There's no sell-by. There's no retirement. There's no, you've got to get to this age to begin it. How do you see? You see scrub, I see beauty, says Jesus. It's true for each. And it's also true for everybody. And there's a load of people that need to hear it. And do you know whose job it is to tell them? Do you know whose job it is to tell them? I know everybody's pointing to everybody else. And certainly don't be pointing at me. It's our job. It's our job. Sometimes in words. Let us be silent, and then we will pray. O loving God, give me the wings to fly home to you. You tell us that whoever we are, wherever we live, whatever our story or our song, you call us home to roost in your sheltering branches and your welcoming love. And you who think that each one of us is lovely, not perfect, but lovely, thank you that we have found our place in the tree of life and in the great flock of your people, and help us to sing full-throated the music of your praise. And then, to live our ordinary, scrubby life, that would point to your glory. Help us, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. We join to sing in Heavenly Love Abiding. Question, how many of you know that hymn? Hands in the air. How many of you were singing that for the first time? Keep your hands up, please. Let's have a look. Very interesting. Very interesting. Thank you. Very interesting. I think everybody knows it. Hey, let's join to pray. Jesus, you risked it all. A man in a man's world, a Jew in a Jewish world, You could have towed the line, blended in, but instead you risked it all. You risked it all for the vulnerable and the dispossessed, the disowned and the unrespectable, for those who were broken by a scornful world, for the untouchable ones who needed your touch, for the heavy laden who needed release. For all these, you risked it all. For all these, you gave your all. And for those in our world, we pray. Lord, we still live in a man's world where gender, colour, culture, age, religion determine who has power. Where some are scorned and made to feel they don't belong. And we could opt for an easy life, simply going with the flow. So give us courage to risk it all for your sake. Speaking out against injustice. Forgoing privilege to lift those for whom life is a struggle. Giving up power to those who are powerless. And risking our very selves to follow the cross on which you gave your all. Lord, we pray. Amen. So our offerings will now be received. We know that some people were not able to be here for the gift day last week. For those gifts, we give thanks to God, and for all of us now, we make our offering. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the work that you have called us as a community to do. We thank you for the privilege of being part of the work of your kingdom. Bless these gifts of money that we bring. May we release them to you with a spirit of generosity and love. Help each of us to play our part. Whether the numbers look big or look small to others, you know the resources that we have, and you know the challenges that are ours. Thank you that you are the giver of all gifts. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we join to sing our final hymn, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
anyone curious, have a seat, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, how come Sally got a red nose? It's lovely. Jack's got a red nose. You came dressed looking beautiful this morning. You're just lovely. Could we just the fancy took you?
Oh, yeah, so I get taken like this on a Sunday morning every now and then. Come and stand up here so that people can see
you. Can we see you? You've got to be the Cat in the Hat.
Yes.
That's right, you're the Cat in the Hat. Who are you? Pardon? You're Alice.
Right.
You're Alice. So you've got red hair. That's true. And who's Jack? Pardon? Jack's a muggle.
He's just a red-nosed...
Whatever.
Something, yes.
Yes.
And...
Pardon? Rudolph, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sally is the Red Riding Hood, only she's lost her hood and she's got a red nose.
Oh, right. Lost her wig as well. Yeah.
And I'm a sort of a queen. We've done all this because we were talking about how if we follow Jesus, we can change ourselves inside, but you can't see that, so we changed ourselves outside.
Beautiful. You know, Reuben and Tom, you came in, you sat down, you thought, oh, I'm feeling really comfortable. Up you come. Beautiful. Here we go. So these two guys are here to speak to people who are not going to be here, but we'll take that another time. This is Reuben. Reuben, I know your surname. I don't know yours, man. But this is Reuben Watts, who is a big cheese in the Southern Youth Executive. And this is Tom Hackett. You see, I did know it, but I forgot. This is Tom Hackett, who works for our synod, United Reformed Church, 13 synods. We're in Southern Synod. Tom Hackett, who is the
Children's and Youth Development Officer. So CIDO, Children's and Youth Development.
Children and Youth Development Officer. Beautiful, and they're here to be with us at the 11:30, and they'll be here for tea and coffee. So if you think, really difficult question, do it. Okay, thank you for coming. God bless you.
Thanks.
So, everybody up if your legs will let you. So may God bless us and guide us as we seek to be transformed, to be God's people, making a difference this week and forevermore. Amen. Let's wish one another well as we say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. Somebody's been learning. That's all beautiful. Yes, granny scream of horror. That was beautiful. That was a sign of my power. Lovely.